Hi, everybody. Welcome to another session. This one is following along with my latest jag, direction, whatever you call it. What does it take? What does it take to build a successful network marketing business? As those of you who follow the Mastermind sessions know, I've started again to build a business. Lots of things I'm doing right, bunch of things I'm not. And so it's of great interest to me to track down men and women that I know who are what I call white hats, and by that I mean good guys and gals, people who are building the business right. And we'll talk more about what it means to build a business right with the master in this session, a lady that I've known for a long time and just have unabashed respect and admiration for. For one reason is that she is one of the people who thoroughly embraced the idea of shipping and receiving, that this is a relationship-based business, relationshipping, friendshipping, partnershipping, and leadershipping. And she took those ideas and just really took them over the top, took them to the bank, too. This is a million-dollar income earner in network marketing. She's been around for 15 years. She is with Miabella Candles. It's been a while. It's been 76 sessions ago since I last talked to her, and I was just looking at her bio. And at that time, her organization had 7,000 representatives in it, and today it's more than doubled in a year and a half. This lady knows what she's doing. And in that previous session, that was all about building your business online, and that's something she is masterful at. But that's not without the relationship, the face-to-face, the connection. And she really has taken working with social media and Web 2.0. There's an article I'm itching to write. The title of it is Web 2.00 and Anti-Social Media Marketing. I'll talk to her about that too. Lady knows what she's doing, and that's the reason she's here, and she is a good friend. As I said, I admire so much about her. She has integrity. She believes completely in partnership. She is a servant leader, but not a servile leader. She really is one of those out in front, go and show the way to people. And when she takes people on in her organization, she takes them on fully and completely. The very first mastermind session I did with her, I did with one of her leaders who she really brought in, up, and along, a lady who now is right behind her in her company. This woman has won every award you can win, Recruiter of the Year, Distributor of the Year, again and again. And she's taught her partner, Deb Warren, how to do the same thing, which is really the mark of a leader. As said, good friend. Someone I admire greatly, Jackie Ulmer. Hello, lady.
Hello, John, and thank you for that wonderful welcome.
You are welcome in many ways. So, what's it take? What's it take to build a successful network marketing business? There was a time when, did you start out and succeed? Bang. Here I go, and you did it right?
Oh, gosh, I'd like to tell you that I did, and I got quite a kick out of your introduction talking about how, you know, you being back in the trenches building again and how you're doing things right and you're doing things wrong. And I thought, well, you're on the right path then, because I think that most people, I don't know of anyone who doesn't make mistakes along the way, but, you know, my mantra has always been I will never be written up in the Network Marketing Hall of Fame as being a fast starter or getting things right the first time or anything like that. I made plenty of mistakes. I got in my own way plenty of times. And, you know, as they say, kind of failed my way to success, although I don't really like to use the word failure because I look at all of it as a growing, learning, necessary step to get you up the mountain.
Jackie, do you know, and you have your own company, and before Sensations, before the candle biz, you were with another company. Have you, and now you teach and you train, you're on the MLM cruise, that annual cruise, so you're outside of your company. You've got visibility and relationships with many more people than just your own organization. Have you ever seen anyone who really did start out like a shot, who did the massive action, massive action, massive action, and it worked?
I'd have to think on that, but nobody comes to mind that I really know, that I've spent time with and heard their story and you know, somewhat interviewed myself or, you know, delved down deeper to find out how they did it. I don't believe so. I believe that most people struggle, grow, you know, I don't think it's a fast build for really anyone. I mean, sometimes we see someone come into a company and they seem to go with lightning speed, and unfortunately, oftentimes the story that's not told is the business that they built somewhere else and, you know, the large organization that they brought over. But people will have to pay their dues somewhere. And I believe most everyone I know, anyway, has bumbled along and stumbled along and made it. Certainly some go faster than others, but I think that we all go through a little bit of the school of hard knocks in getting there.
So what are the key components, kind of big picture-like, that it takes to be a successful network marketer? Do you, for instance, you have a list of the top five qualities that a successful network marketer has, or characteristics, or top 10, something like that?
Yeah, I'm sure I do, and that brings up an interesting point. It would be worthwhile to definitely write that down and put it out there, so I think I will do that. But I think first and foremost, it really starts with a big vision and a big why, and I kind of consider those the same thing. And, you know, as cliche as it may sound, because we certainly hear that over and over in the industry, but there's a reason for that. You have to know what your vision is. You have to really know what you're working for. It's a volunteer business. Nobody makes you do it. So you've got to have something that you're holding out there in front of you that is going to make you get up every day and take the action steps that have to be taken. So I think vision is one. And I think a really strong second component to that is having a business plan. And I think very few people, at least in the beginning, even really understand what that means, having a business plan, but you have to have a plan of action. You know, your business plan doesn't necessarily have to be along the lines of a traditional business plan if you were starting a brick-and-mortar business or something like that. You don't necessarily have to have projected incomes and those type things, because those can be very arbitrary and hard to plot into something. But you have to know what steps you're going to take. You have to know what type of budget you're working within, which I think is very important. How will you advertise and promote your business? And what are your action steps going to look like? Because in the beginning, it really does all start with you. You know, it starts with you and your intentions and the steps that you're going to take to get it out there. So I would say that would be, you know, a second very key component. And then a third really top one is a can-do attitude, and, you know, definitely knowing that quitting is not an option. And that's one thing that I had early on, was that quitting was not going to be an option for me. I had, you know, spent time early on getting started in network marketing, reading a lot of materials and listening to CDs and tapes and stuff, and really just listening to the success stories of other people. It wasn't so much the nuts and bolts of how they were going about building the business, but it was their success story and their failures and their successes and what drove them forward. And I just really made a commitment early on that I was going to be unstoppable, that I was going to do whatever it would take to make it to the top. And there were many times that I wondered whether I would make it to the top, but I had that out in front all along. So I think those three components are really, really important. And a fourth is probably to be extremely self-motivated and to be a seeker of knowledge and education. You have to be willing to find it within yourself and go out and seek out what it is that you need and you're looking for to help you. Certainly your sponsor and your upline is there to guide you, but I think that most every leader at some point breaks away from that and seeks out knowledge and information themselves. So I would say those four key things are very important. You don't have to be highly educated. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to be a great speaker. You know, those are, I don't think that those are the key things that it takes. All of that can be developed and added to, et cetera, but you have to have those few core things that drive you.
Can I ask you, because I do have a list, and I've been posting on Facebook and a couple of other places to get feedback from people about this list. Can I ask you, I've got a couple other things I just want to ask you, where do these fit for you?
Okay, great.
Integrity. Well, hold on a second. My dog is screaming in the background. Okay. Integrity.
Integrity, can you say more about that? Integrity that you're looking for in another, integrity that you have yourself?
Well, I'd say both.
Or both. Yeah.
What I'm talking about is honesty, authenticity in both your inner and outer actions. There are two points that Randy Gage in his New Year's Eve manifesto, Art Jonak in the last mastermind session I did a week or so ago with Art, has said, and these things are not brand new. They've been around for a while, and I'm trying to track down where they came from the best I can do, because it really sounds like him, is that I think this is something Jim Rohn said. One, I will never lie to you. Two, I will never knowingly ask you to do anything that is not in your best interest. That kind of integrity, Jackie, in your interactions with customers and prospects, your relationship and partnership with your team members, business partners, and how you present yourself to the world, and the kind of culture you build in your organization and your company builds.
Absolutely. I think integrity is tremendously important and necessary. And I think the integrity and the honesty issue really starts with yourself first. You know, being honest with yourself about what it's going to take to make it, what you're willing to do, and owning your success or failure to do whatever, to take the action steps. So I think that it really starts with you. And when you have that type of integrity and honesty with yourself, it automatically, or certainly should, exudes out into the marketplace, if you will, and into that realm with those people, whether they're prospects, business partners, customers, you know, however they fit into your business plan. And I think it's very, very important. And I think that what both Randy and Art both state is true. And I think you're right. I think it does start with Jim Rohn. I think that is something he said way back. But I will never lie to you. I'm always very honest with people, because that's what people need. I love the scars that I've made along the way to success in network marketing. I don't want anyone to think that it was easy street for me. I don't want anyone to think that I am something that I'm not, or that I've built my business in some way that I've not, because it doesn't honor me and the path and the journey that I've taken to get here, and it certainly doesn't honor them in evaluating or moving forward in their own business. So I think that that really is a key part of it, and would never, you know, along the same lines, never ask anyone to do something that's not in their. That's just that won't create a win-win anyway.
Got it. Hold on a second. I need to change phones. My battery's dying. Hang on. Have I got you?
Yep.
I carelessly didn't take a look at the phone there. All right, let's do another one. Work ethic.
Oh, work ethic. I love that one.
How did I know?
Because you got to have it. You got to have a good work ethic. And I probably love it as much as anything, because in the beginning days, I didn't have a good work ethic. And I didn't take personal responsibility, and I didn't own my failures. I was more than happy to own my successes, but I wasn't all that bold about owning my failures in the beginning, and a lot of that had to do with work ethic. And you know, when I finally realized, for me, work ethic really involves, I like to look at myself in the eye, in the mirror, at night before I go to bed and know that I feel really good about what I accomplished that day. And that I did the best that I could with whatever it was I had to work with, you know, whatever my plan of action was for that day, that I executed it to the best of my ability, that I feel good about it, I feel good about the interactions that I had, and that the work ethic that I put forth day in and day out, you know, is something that, A, anyone could do, and if everyone would do, they would have a business that would build and grow and duplicate and be very, you know, a happy place to be. So I think work ethic is important. There's that old saying, you know, you can work this business full-time or part-time, but you can't work at spare time. And a lot of that has to do with work ethic, too. You have to be consistent. You have to know what those steps are and take them.
Jackie, what do you do with people in your organization who don't show up with that kind of work ethic? Can you teach that, train that?
I think that you can model that, which I suppose is a form of teaching and training. You can certainly share with people, and I do, you know, a little bit about what a day in the life is for me. You know, what is my daily business activities? What do those consist of? You can certainly share that, but it's kind of like that, you know, the thing. I mean, you can sell somebody into this business. You can convince somebody. You can talk somebody into joining you in your business, but you can never convince somebody to actually work it. So you can model work ethic, you can model all that for people, but you can't, there's nothing you can do personally to make them take those action steps. That has to come internally, you know, based around their vision, their why, and what it is that they're really looking to accomplish.
Okay. There are a bunch of these that you covered when you spoke of vision, a plan of action, can-do attitude, such as persistence, desire, passion, things like that. How about people skills, communication skills? And that would be, I guess, a combination of communication skills with people and your attitude about people.
Those are extremely important, and fortunately, those are skills that can be developed. Actually, most of these are skills, really, that can be developed, and that's the good thing about it. And I think that over time, anyone building a business will realize how that this, first of all, that it is a people business, it is a relationship business, and that good people skills and good communication skills, and most specifically within the communication is the listening skill, those are the things that are critical to bonding and team building and developing that trust and partnership that's so important. So communication skills rank right up there. And as I mentioned, you know, the listening is the biggest part of it. This business is never about you personally. It's always about your prospect, your team member, whoever. It's only about you when you make that decision to join a company and to build a business. But from there on out, it's about the individual with whom you're working, whether it's a prospect, a customer, whatever. It's their need, what they're looking for, and how you can best fit into the role of assisting them in achieving what it is that they want. You can't do it for them, but you can certainly be there to listen and coach and mirror back to them the things that they're going to need so that they can really, in a sense, coach themselves and move themselves wherever they need to be in making a decision, purchasing your product, joining the company, moving forward in the business if they're already involved, et cetera.
What about being well-organized, Jackie?
What does that mean exactly? Well-organized. As I think about my desk that is not the most well-organized, but I can certainly find things, I think that you have to be well-organized or get well organized in how you go about working your business. You know, it goes back to that business plan, or what are those single daily action steps going to be? And then from there, you know, it's the contact, invite, present, follow up, what, you know, what materials are you going to give to people? Are you mailing stuff out? I think that having a successful business that, that runs smoothly does involve some organization to know what the next steps are. I mean, you have to always know what the next steps are that you're going to take with a prospect or with a new team member, et cetera, so that they know what the next steps are that they're going to take. So, yeah, I would say organization is a good part of it. I think that as networkers, we can get way too bogged down in too much stuff. The business really, regardless of the product line or, you know, what company you're working with, it really works best in a pretty simplistic form. I don't think that you have to have a whole bunch of flashy sales aids, you know, the best written letter, those kind of things to make it happen. So I think that it's easy for us to get caught up with a lot of junk that clutters up the business that we think we need, but we really don't. So the more you can pare things down and make them simple, the better, the easier it is to stay organized and the easier it is to duplicate with others because it's pretty simple.
There's a list of, not network marketers, it's entrepreneurs, 10 qualities, 10 top qualities for entrepreneurs that a guy, a very thoughtful guy named Kevin Givens put together. And number four on his list, and it was a pretty personal list, was a supportive spouse. Is it required?
Is it required? That's an interesting question and one that comes up quite a bit. And I feel very blessed in that I've always had an extremely supportive spouse. So I've never had to deal with the obstacle of that, although I've certainly worked with many people who have. I think it is important. I think it is very important. And I think that you can ultimately win a spouse over. I don't think they have to start out necessarily agreeing with you or liking your business, et cetera, but if you can show some success and, you know, to coin a phrase, show them the money, I think that the support becomes a lot easier for some. But I definitely know that it's a challenge out there for some people, and it's, I don't really know that I've ever met anyone who has managed to build a large, successful business with a spouse who stayed skeptical and non-supportive. Either the business went or the spouse went, in my experience, what I've witnessed. So, yeah, I would say that really is important. I think it's extremely important.
How about sales ability?
Sales ability. Again, a skill that can be developed.
Did you have it when you started?
I had more sales ability than I thought I did, which is what I think most people have. I think most people, if they really will look into that, they have more than they think. But the problem with sales, John, and I really believe this, I think that when we hear that word, we conjure up in our minds some obnoxious person following us around a showroom who won't leave us alone, you know, locking us in the office at the car dealership, trying to force us to sign on the dotted line, whatever it is. We conjure up this vision of some pushy, badgering person who's trying to force us into buying something that we don't want to buy. I mean, life is sales. You start off as a baby selling people. We all sell every single day. You sell your spouse on marrying you in the beginning. You know, you sell your kids on going to school, you sell them on taking their vitamins. You sell every single day in some way, shape, or form. We just don't choose to look at those things that we do every day as a form of sales, but they really are. So I think it's in how you look at the word and how you serve other people in the sales process. You know, if you're promoting your product or whatever, it's important that it goes back to communication and listening and putting that person's needs first. So good sales skills aren't necessarily about getting the sale or getting the sale right then. It's about communicating with your prospect, with your customer, whoever, about what their need is and then finding a way to fill that need and modeling how your product or opportunity can fill that need. And then beyond that, it's up to them. But I think we all sell every single day. And so rearranging how we look at that word I think will allow more people to feel competent and capable in their own sales ability.
I got two more words for you. The first one is serve. Serving. Serving other people. There's a lot of conversation, and actually this is also the second word, that's what leadership is. So both of those things, serving and leadership, servant leadership. How important is that in your own way of operating, as well as what you've observed?
Oh, I think it's very important. I mean, it's highly important to be a servant leader, because that's what people are going to follow. You have to be, to me, servant leadership is really about being, you know, one of the masses with your team. It doesn't matter what your position or rank is, you know, within your company. I mean, we're all basically still doing the same thing. I mean, I may have a big title after my name of the ranks that I've climbed up in my company, but when it all comes down to it, I'm still a field distributor. You know, I'm a distributor out in the field basically doing the same things that everyone else is doing. And so you never want to lose that ability to be relatable to people and to leave that door open for people to feel comfortable contacting you, you know, asking you the hard questions, wanting to hear your story, how you did things, that type thing. So, you know, servant leadership is really about being accessible. It's being honest. It's being real, authentic. And back to many of those things we've already talked about, integrity, honesty, you know, never asking someone to do something that's not in their best interest. And then, you know, leading by example. I mean, it's the whole don't do what I say, do what I do. You know, let people see you out there taking the action steps, doing what's important to build the business and developing the leaders and their own leadership skills from that. So I think that's how you best serve your people, is being real, being authentic, being accessible, and never forgetting that, you know, we all started by signing on the dotted line and making out that list or whatever it is that we did with the business. And, you know, you can't ever lose touch with that.
Jackie, let's dive right into – thank you for going over that, because I've learned a bunch with that and what you said. Let's go back to and see if this is a great place to start. What I'm going to propose is that we start – that you have a prospect. How do you work with that prospect? How do you bring that person to – the point of decision about the business and bring them into the business? And then how do you get them started? What do you do to work with them? Is that, I mean, that's a lot, I know, but can you kind of like take it from point A to B to C to D?
Sure. And you know, that really is the process. And that's what we do day in and day out in this profession is, you know, prospect and present and that type thing. So when a prospect, you know, for me, my form of marketing, as you know, and it's been discussed on my other mastermind events, et cetera, and most people know me that I'm largely an internet marketer. I mean, I do 99.9% of my business online. So what happens for me in that instance is that my leads come to me. They have landed on a website. They've landed somewhere, they've read something about me, whatever. They visited my website, they filled out a form asking me to contact them, or they call me, etc. So it's a little bit different in that regard. Well, I guess it wouldn't be that much different than just a warm lead, someone you know that says, hey, tell me more about your business. You know, I work with people who are expecting my phone call, and they're asking me to know more about my business. So, you know, for me, the process really starts with them, getting to know them. You know, what are you looking for in a business? What's important to you? What interests you about my particular business? How do you see yourself having fun and making money? And I really like to put that fun out there, because I think that one of the beauties of network marketing and having your own business and developing it is the fun that you can really have with it, the fun that you can have with people, with your product line, with all of it. And so I want to put that out there to them to let them know that this really is a business about fun. And the more fun they have with it, in most cases, the more money that they're going to make. So the beginning process is really about uncovering what their need is, what their desires are, what they're looking for, what their values are, you know, why they would want to do a business. And then I do things a little differently than what I was taught early on, and that is, the you know, once I've probed a little bit and found out a little bit more about them as a person and what they might be interested in, I ask them what questions they have of me. I know that that goes against the grain of, you know, the person asking the questions is controlling the conversation and a lot of that sales 101 stuff that we hear, but I don't want to control a conversation. I don't like being controlled, and I always figure my prospect doesn't either. So I like to open it up to them to ask me questions as well. And for me, I find that that works extremely well. The questions are usually pretty much the same. You know, not a lot different. How does this work? What does it cost? What would I be doing? You know, how will you support me? Those type things. But that really gives me an opportunity, again, to really get more, to get to know them better and to know more about what it is that they're looking for. Because the questions that they ask, and oftentimes even the order with which they ask them, will tell you a lot about what's most important to them and, you know, maybe what objections you're going to have to overcome, those type things. I really like to let the tools do most of the work, even though after, gosh, 15 years in the profession and 6 years with my company, I can, you know, do an overview, talk about the products, talk about all of it in my sleep. I don't want to do that because I always want to be modeling for my prospect that this is a simple business and that the tools are in place. This is something that they can do also, you know, should they decide to get started today, this is something where they can point people to find out more. So, you know, whatever questions that they have regarding the business, the product, the compensation plan, any of those type things, I always know right where I'm going to point them back to where they can pretty much find that on their own. Typically it's a website because most of the time I'm working over the phone when I'm talking with people. And I can, you know, point them back to the specific places online where they can find the compensation plan or they can find out about the product line, those types of things. And then I always follow up with an email after the conversation that gives them those links in case it didn't translate well over the phone, and sometimes that happens. But, you know, I really think that that's important to let the tools do as much of the work as you can, so that they can see that everything's in place, that they can pick right up and do this business as well. And, you know, from there, I'm not a big closer. I don't really do a whole lot of big closing lines or anything like that. If I'm going to use some type of closing line, it would be, you know, how do you see yourself at this point? You know, do you see this as something that you want to pursue? But I don't really push people hard to close them. If that's not comfortable for me, it just isn't. Even after all these years in business, it's not comfortable for me. And I have sold, as I mentioned earlier, you know, you can sell people into this business. I have sold my share of people in my 15 years in network marketing. I have sold my share of people into the business, talked them into it, et cetera. And I could go back on all the ones where I know that I pushed a little hard or whatever, and they ended up signing up. None of them stayed, and none of them really ever did anything because they didn't sign up really under their own free will. I mean, obviously, they ultimately made the choice, but it was my pushing too hard in some cases that made them do that. And I don't want to do that anymore or to anybody. I really want, when someone makes a decision to get started, I want them to be so sold on that decision themselves that I really truly don't have anything to do with that decision. It's really about them. They've researched it thoroughly. They've thought it through, and they've sold themselves. And that is a good feeling for me. And ultimately, it's a good feeling for them. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who does that will stay in the business or do anything. But I know that we have a strong relationship no matter what. And I've had, you know, many people who've chosen to leave the business say to me, you know, it has nothing to do with you. It just wasn't the right time for me or whatever, and that door always stays open. In fact, just last month, you know, I brought back in 4 people who came back to me and said, I'm ready to go now. And that's always a good feeling. When you leave that door open for people, they will come back. And part of that is really making sure that they are the ones who've made that decision to get started. And then once they do, you know, once they make that decision to get started, that's when the partnership really begins, and that's when your true work begins. A lot of people think that starts when you're first talking to someone or, you know, up to the point of getting them to sign up, but the real fun and the real partnership and business building together starts once they get signed up. You know, for me, one of the first things is to get them the Partners in Success Agreement. You and I have talked about that before, so that I can really get a good look at them and what's important to them and what they're looking for in a business. And that's really about a 20-25 question form that tells me what their goals and dreams are, how they see themselves working the business, what their expectations are of me, because I want to be very clear on that, what their advertising and marketing budget is, you know, all those type things, so that I can be the best upline support system that I can be. And I'm going to guide them in, you know, their first steps based on what some of those questions are. Or the answers, I should say, to some of those questions. And, you know, from there, it's a partnership of working together and, you know, me guiding them down the steps that they're going to need to take to be successful. And then, of course, you know, they've got to be willing to take those steps and get their business going.
I have a ton of questions, and they go in different directions. One that jumped at me, and I don't want to get completely off track, but it seems appropriate. You said four people came back into your business
mm-hmm.
in the last, did you say month?
In January.
In January, okay.
Yes.
It's February, that's the last month. Good.
Right.
Talk to me about that a little bit. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's an interesting time because, of course, you know, we're recording this in February of 2009 with stimulus packages being out there and auto industry tubing and all the negative news that we hear that's out there going on with certainly our country and certainly some worldwide issues as well. And I think the reason for that is I think that people are looking for alternative ways of earning income now more than ever. You hear it said all the time, you know, network marketing thrives in good times and bad, and if you present it properly, it will definitely thrive in times of recession or whatever you want to call it, because people are looking for alternatives. I mean, some people have been downsized 3, 4, 5 times now. Some people have taken pay cuts, you know, a tremendous amount of time. They've gone from one career to the next, and they're not getting ahead, and nothing's changing for them. They're sliding backwards. And, you know, as we progress along and become more of an information age, people see that, you know, really the solution out there is to be your own boss, to have something of your own that they can control. And so, you know, all of these people, that's really what it was about. I mean, it was about making the decision that now is going to be the right time and that it's not going to happen through an employee or an employer. It's not going to happen through a job situation. The vision that they originally caught in network marketing and in the what they could have through having their own business is still out there, and all they need to do is grab hold of it. So I really think that it has to do with that more than anything, just looking around at what's going on and thinking, you know, I had a good deal there. It was really about me not maximizing it to the fullest, and now I'm ready to do that, and so they jump back on board.
Is that why specifically in each of these four cases these people came back?
Yes.
So they really cited the economy and their own personal financial situation as being really important in their decision to come back.
Yes.
And the good news was they already knew what was there, you know, so there wasn't much persuading, convincing, or whatever going on. You just kind of accepted them back into the fold?
Absolutely, you know, and I'm a big believer that it's all about timing. Success in this industry is all about timing, and for a lot of people, actually, the timing's not going to be right when they very first get started in a business. Just like oftentimes when a person very first starts looking for a business, very often the timing is not right for them at that point. Something dramatic and traumatic may have happened that launch them looking for a home business, but in many cases, they're not really ready financially or emotionally or even intellectually to do what it takes to make that business a success. Now, that's not everyone, but a good number of those people are going to fall into that category. And so if you always leave the door open and communicate with them, you know, the chances are very good that when they do decide that the timing's right and that they're ready now, they're going to come back to you. They're not going to go out looking for something different.
Do you make this economy part of your appeal to people, to prospects?
To some degree I do, yeah. I mean, I do, you know, a lot of marketing out on the Internet, article writing, that type thing, and I definitely use the time now to address that. Yeah, I do. I incorporate that into it because I think now is a good time to get started. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and what's going on out there, now is definitely the time to start making steps to correct that. I mean, I look at my own situation. It's kind of funny. I was just thinking about that this last night and chatted with my husband about it. But, you know, that I made the decision to start a business of my own. I didn't know at the time that it was going to be network marketing, but we were both employed by the same airline living in Phoenix, and that airline filed bankruptcy. And it was right during the first Gulf War. So that was like 90. 91, somewhere along those years. I can't remember the exact date. I should know that, but I don't. And so really it was a recessionary time, if you will. It was the challenges of everything that were going on then that made me determine at that point that I was on the hunt. I was on the hunt for a business of my own, and that I knew that I never wanted to be in that position again. I never wanted to have all of our eggs in one basket and to feel totally dependent on an employer who had just lied 3 days earlier when they said they were never going to file bankruptcy at a big pep rally that they had. You know, so that really lowered my trust in corporate America. And I remember making a decision sitting on my kitchen counter in the morning after reading the morning news that our company had filed bankruptcy, and thinking, I am not going to be in this position ever again. I am going to take action and take control. Now, I didn't get started in my first network marketing company until January of 94. So just like what I mentioned, timing isn't always right. I wasn't financially I wasn't emotionally or intellectually ready when I made that decision to start my own business, and I wasn't at all interested in network marketing at that point. But my mindset shifted. And I knew that I was going to make a change in my life. So my mindset had shifted, and I just had to get the rest of it caught up.
Let's go back now to this process. You've brought somebody in, you've created this partnership agreement with them so that you're both clear. One of the things you've said in the past is that there are two ways to go about building the business. I'm going to guess that you smoke this out or reveal this in your partnership process, in a partnership agreement with people, and that is you can either invest time or money. Can you do you in fact deal with that in that partnership agreement as to what they're going to invest or what mix of those two things they're going to invest?
Well, it starts in there. I mean, I do point blank ask people now what their marketing and advertising budget is on a monthly basis, because I want them to know and I want them to begin thinking about that. And then we also go through, you know, how they see themselves working the business and what action steps that they're going to take. So once I get those two components and we get back on the phone, then we can go through putting those together and what it's going to take, because it really is. I mean, You can be as creative as you want with this business, but when it really comes down to it, A, you have to always be talking to people. You have to be presenting and sponsoring people into your business in order for it to grow, so you have to have people to talk to. Well, that's going to come in one of a handful of ways. You know, it starts with your warm market notification list, letting those people know, everyone you know and have any type of relationship with, business, personal, letting them know what you're up to. And then, you know, from there, expanding that list out, whether it's, you know, going to networking and business events, trade shows, whether it's the 3-foot rule, mall walking, you know, I mean, there are different ways to do it, but you have to be taking some form of action. So if money's an issue, then it's going to definitely be that, you know, starting with that list of names and calling them and getting out there, passing out cards, et cetera. Or if you have a budget to put into it, it could be, you know, doing advertising, buying leads, you know, online, there's certainly pay-per-click advertising, things like that. Joining a networking group such as a Business Network International, BNI, you know, something like that. But you've got to be talking to people. So you've got to know going in that you're going to have to generate people to talk to. And how you go about doing that is going to be one of those two ways, time or money.
You seem to be swimming against a flow that's out there. That flow is a consistent, quote, duplicatable system. You seem, and this is, correct me if I'm wrong, you seem to know about a whole variety of different ways and explore with your individual people which ones they're going to pursue and help them do that. Is that true?
Yes, that's very true. I am swimming upstream in that regard, definitely.
Well,
I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, I dearly love you for it. It is how I've thought it's at its best sponsorship and leadership should be. But, girlfriend, that's hard work.
What's hard work?
You know all of these different things, and you are dealing individually with your people about what's the best way for them to do it. I think, okay, and, you know, clearly, one man's opinion, and as Dennis Miller used to say, it's just my opinion, I could be wrong. I think one of the reasons why many, quote, heavy hitters, unquote, don't preach or teach what you just said you do is because it's too much work. It means you can't play throw 'em up against the wall and see who sticks. You gotta play a large churn and burn type numbers game. I mean, same thing with the partnership agreement. I mean, you know, I'm seeing just a bunch of people today, Jackie, who want a replicatable website where somebody can come and sign up and they don't even have to talk to them. And
yeah, the internet's definitely spawned some negative things as well, and in my opinion, that is one of them. I may be high tech, but I am extremely high touch. But, you know, you spend any time in this industry, you spend any real time in this industry, and you realize, I mean, I'm looking for leaders every single day. That's who I'm looking for. And I know what it takes to be a leader. And it does mean beating to your own drum to some extent. I think that there are ways that duplicate more quickly than others. I think that getting people started, notifying their warm list is extremely important. But I think that also, you know, setting them up with the mindset that in most cases, they're going to end up going outside of that warm market list over time if they're really going to grow and build their business. And to me, attraction marketing is the most appealing thing on the planet when you can put things out there, put yourself out there in a way that you're passionate about. And you have to be passionate, I think, about the ways with which you really go about building the business because, you know, I mean, we do the same things basically each and every day. You know, in terms of talking to people, the information you share with them, et cetera. So I think that the more you can feel passionate and interested in what you do, the better off it's going to be. But, you know, getting people started right off the bat with knowing the realities of what it's going to take in this business and, you know, spending the time with them to coach them on that through the partnership agreement, through those type things, I mean, it's critical to developing leaders. And that's what we're looking for. That's what it takes to make it in the business.
Well, as said, I'm happy to hear you say that that's what you do because I've always thought that's what there is for me to do. And I certainly hear the people who say you'll never build a big business. Well, here's one example, a kind of classic heavy hitter remark. You'll never build a big business bringing in one person a month. And yet, a couple of weeks ago, I did a mastermind session with Donna Johnson, who is multi-million dollar annual income earner in network marketing. And yes, that's after 20 years of doing it. But that's what Donna did. I guess one of the things I'm coming to, Jackie, is for every rule or law I hear out there, there's another one that's 180 degrees opposite.
Well, that's the thing. There are no rules and there are no laws. And there's not just one way. There's not just one way. You know, there really isn't. I mean, lots of businesses have been built by lots of million-dollar leaders by focusing on one or two or three a month. You know, that can definitely be done. That can definitely be done. There's no rule that says you have to put in a ton of people each and every month, et cetera.
Well, given your process, you couldn't, could you? I mean, here you are on the Internet, and you could. I don't doubt you've got the skills and the experience to just bring people in after people in after people in after people in. My deal with that is how the heck can you work with them?
Well, I do sponsor a pretty high number each and every month, and I think, well, first of all, you have to take working with them and put that as a priority, but they have to prioritize it in that way as well. And I am a 50-50 or, you know, 100-100, however you want to call it, but I'm going to meet people at the level that they meet me back. So one of the things that happens with the Internet is, you know, sometimes the relationship isn't built as strongly. I mean, because I do have those people who sign up who I've never spoken with or even exchanged an email. They landed on my site at 2 in the morning, went through the information, liked what they read, boom, got started, you know, joined, et cetera. And they don't really know anything about me other than what they've read, and I don't know a lot about them. And sometimes we play phone tag a few times, and I don't hear from them. They don't take the steps they need to or whatever, you know, whatever it is. So there are those people who are not ever going to get into partnership with you, aren't ever going to build the business. But I think that the key is in reaching out and working to do that with each person, and the ones who want to play along will. And you know, after a month or two, sometimes after a week even, who those people are. Not always, but usually a month or two tells you. And so I make myself as available as they want me to in their coaching process.
It's interesting to hear you say that. I can't remember how long ago, I did a mastermind session with a guy named Ron Maurer. And Ron is very big on matching efforts and matching interest. And he wrote a thing about it. And I just put it in my weblog the other day because I'm watching it occur in my team. For instance, I've got a guy who for over 1 week now has been just about every day for a week, he's going to be placing his order. Enough to have him say, you know, as soon as we get off the phone, I'll do it. And it's never shown up. Hasn't shown up yet. And
yeah.
Besides being frustrated with that, which I am, my inclination is, you know, after a week of that, you know, I left a message to so that I could be honest in my expression. I said, look, it's been 1 week, and every day you've said you're going to place your initial order, you really want to get started, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and yet that order isn't placed. And where I'm at right now is, I don't believe you. I don't think that's where you want me to be, and it surely is not where I want to be. Please call me and tell me what's going on. Now, was that a good thing I did or not?
Well, I don't think that's a judgment call for anyone to make other than the two of you, really. It depends on that person. It really does. I mean, what that person is saying loud and clear at this point is that they're really not ready at this moment to move forward with a business. And that's okay, but let's just be clear on it. So I experienced that too. I mean, I have the three strikes and you're out rule, which sounds a little harsh, but what that basically is.
Tell me what that means.
What that means is that mostly goes when somebody gets signed up. I mean, when somebody gets signed up, you know, I will call them three times. I'll call them a lot more than that if they're meeting me along the way, calling me back, asking me questions, taking the action steps, getting the partnership agreement back to me. We're going through that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But if I call three times and on the third time I still don't get them and I haven't heard anything back, even an email, then I basically leave the ball is in your court phone conversation, and I'm very nice about it. But, you know, here's the deal. You know, this is the third time I've called you, and you know, I'm really anxious to work with you and help you
now,
get your business started.
Excuse me. Is this a live connected conversation or a message or an email?
No, this is a message, a phone message.
Okay.
And it would just, you know, be, you know, this is the third message I've left for you. I haven't heard anything back from you. You got signed up, and I, you know, want to make sure that you're getting the support that you need, but I know you must be busy, and I don't want to be your boss. You know, I'm not looking to waste your time or my time, so here's my number again. You've got my information. You call me when you're ready. And then that's it. And I have fulfilled my end of the bargain. I've left three messages. I've let them know what my next step of action is going to be, which is to wait to hear from them before we proceed further. And I can go away with a totally clear conscience. I know that I did what I needed to do, and now it's up to them to contact me when they're ready. And I'm very nice about it. It's not, you know, it's not meant to be a harsh message, but I'm busy too, and I want them to know that I am there for them always, but they have to be the ones to initiate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm moving on because I am really serious about my business. I am really serious about continuing to build, and I'm looking for leaders who are serious too. And if that's not you right now, that's okay, but better that we both just know.
Yeah, there's a kind of a personal integrity thing about that for me. And certainly my business is young enough. I mean, I've been in, what is this now? This is mid-February. I started mid-January. I've been in 2 months. And I'm already seeing classic symptoms of my, this really is network marketing. I brought in 20 people. And I would say that of those 20 people, 7 are actually in action.
Mm-hmm.
One of the places I've fallen down clearly is how to get people started, how to get them on the right track. And the people, I've had one person completely drop out. I've had three or four people, four or five of those people, Jackie, are customers. They're wholesale customers. They have no intention of doing the business. I know that. They know that. And that's clear and cool. And then there are about four or five people who are like, nya, sitting on the sidelines. But at least we've had the conversation which said, look, you know, I don't really want to work this business. If I see somebody or talk to somebody, you know, who would really get benefit from these products or might be looking for a business, I'll tell them about it. But I'm content to kind of take the products and let it be at that. I do take people where they are. The ones that frustrate me are the ones who speak that they want to do something, but don't show through actions that that's really so. And boy, you know, I'm very clear how life gets in the way.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to one of the initial things you began with, which was the desire. You know, Napoleon Hill was right. Burning desire is essential.
It is. I mean, Donald Trump didn't get to where he is without a burning desire. No one does. It doesn't matter whether it's network marketing, traditional business, whatever it is. People get there because they have a burning desire. You don't become a physician without a burning desire. I mean, you know, I mean, there's just so many things you can that's life. You don't become Lance Armstrong or Michael Jordan or anything like that. You have to have some burning, driving desire that makes you keep doing it over and over and over again.
Is that, can you coach or counsel people in discovering that, Jackie?
No, I think it comes back to modeling again. You can model it, and they either get it on their own time or they don't. But you know what? It's easy to go turn on Lost and not pick up the phone or not pick up the book to educate yourself, you know, on things that can really help you in business. I mean, when I was in my self-discovery phase and really working on myself, I mean, I gave up all TV, all newspapers, everything for a period of 3 years. I read nothing, listened to nothing that wasn't self-development. And to me, it was priceless. And even today, I watch very little TV. It's not amusing to me anymore. I'd much rather be listening to a mastermind session or, you know, a CD on this or that. I'd much rather be doing something that moves me forward as a person in life and in business. But, you know, you can say that to people forever, but you can't make them get that till they get it, until they're ready to get it. It's that whole timing thing. You and I will never control the timing with which they get anything.
Well, I am glad that I had some control over the timing of when to get you on the phone here. mutual control that it was. Jackie, thank you. Once again, you certainly deliver a truckload of valuable, vital, important stuff. I really appreciate you. Thank you, lady.
Thank you. I appreciate you and what you're doing for our industry, our profession.
All right. Friend and mentor. I love that part. Jackie calls me one of her mentors, and I call her one of mine. I'm beginning to think that this mentor-to-mentor, back-and-forth thing is really just the best partnership. What an amazing array of wisdom this lady comes up with. I loved the part, and didn't plan it. It just happened. I happened to have in front of me on my computer this list of qualities of entrepreneurs and network marketers for a book project that I'm working on. And to dig into those qualities and talk about them. And the practical wisdom of, you know, how has this woman gone about becoming a million-dollar income earner in network marketing? She certainly is the real deal. And I do have tremendous admiration and, okay, preaching to the choir or the choir singing for the preacher. I don't know which is which on this one. But that she really takes people from whatever angle they're coming and that they want to do this business. And she supports them in doing that. I would suspect if she encountered a way of doing this business she didn't know about, she'd go learn it so that she could work with her people. Just tremendous stuff. And a tremendous person. I value my relationship with her greatly. And I hope you do too, because you've got a relationship with Jackie Ulmer and a whole bunch of other very special people that we can all learn from and get into active partnership with. No kidding, that's what the mastermind sessions are all about. It's a mastermind for you. And that's what you've been listening to, the mastermind sessions. If someone passed this along to you and you'd like to subscribe for your very own self and get the 130-plus sessions that are in the library with all of the extra bonus material, it's a treasure house, my friends. Please take advantage of it. It's easy to do. You can find it at themastermindsessions.com. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you.